Welcome to the Error Bar, where brain jargon is jailbroken. In this episode, how the visual brain processes hands and cutlery, the worst study ever, mirror neurons, alcohol, zombies, and the amazing Jane Goodall. Here's the brain news on the 4th of June, 2021. Hand brain handles tools. The life of a volunteer inside a brain scanner is not easy. Strapped into a dark, noisy tube, a plastic spoon is lit up for a quarter of a second. It's grabbed between finger and thumb. This happens four more times. After 10 seconds reprieve, it happens again. Now a strange rod. Next, grabbing a plastic knife blade, then a pizza cutter, then another rod. Again and again and again for an hour. 20 volunteers' brains were scanned each for about 2 hours while they viewed, then grasped, different items of cutlery and unfamiliar rods, and while they just looked at similar images. Researchers in Cambridge and Norwich, UK, found that brain areas thought to be for processing visual images of hands also contain information on the orientation of spoons, knives, and pizza cutters, but not about unfamiliar rods. Reports on social media suggested that we finally understand how the brain interprets tools as if they were literally a part of the body. Does the brain bit for hands also do tools? Yes, this is a good news story. It is a technical achievement just to adapt the brain scanner to do this work successfully, and the researchers clearly spent a lot of time with each of their volunteers to get really good data over multiple sessions inside the torture tube at the scanner. Figure 2 in their paper is a masterpiece in efficiency and clarity of data reporting. Everything you need to know is right there. And like all good studies, it raises more questions. First, two overlapping parts of brain, for hands and tools respectively, showed quite different responses. The separate areas were defined independently, which is the right way to do it, so it raises the possibility that these brain areas can be defined in a different way and that could even give better results. Second, like most studies of this kind, the statistical effects were really very small. Signals in the brain areas distinguished typical from atypical grasps or cutlery from rods only about 55 to 60% of the time, with chance being just 50%. This study was powerful enough to find these tiny signals in the brain, but these are needles in haystacks. While the excitement on social media is justified by this study's quality, we still have a lot to learn about how the brain deals with tools. Conclusion: how we grasp familiar cutlery is processed by brain areas that normally deal with images of hands. Another tile in the mosaic of the brain has been put firmly into place. The science was by Knight et al. In the Journal of Neuroscience, reported on Twitter. Science takes a dive. Ever obsessed with the failure of English football players to score during penalty shootouts, the Daily Mail reports a Dutch study of 22 football players taking penalties. The researchers attempted what many scientists would think impossible, recording high-quality brain imaging data while people are running around and kicking balls. Finding that the motor cortex is involved in playing and the prefrontal cortex in thinking about football, the authors noted it is feasible to detect neurological clues relevant to anxiety and performance in the field. Are these the neural correlates of football? No. There's good reason no one has attempted this research before. It's not possible. As exemplified by our previous story, brain imaging is a difficult, labour-intensive technique that involves training, patience, and competence. You can't just stick a scanner on someone's sweaty forehead and send them out to play games. Well, you can, but the result would be dribble. To achieve the unachievable, the authors first removed one of their 22 participants' data for technical failure. This is quite common. Then they ignored 2 of the 10 scanned parts of the brain because the data were noisy. Okay. Outliers were then removed. Okay, fairly typical. Then one of the 2 sets of data signals were removed for being, you know, not useful. And 59% of the remaining data was removed for being poor quality. In total, the researchers removed 86% of their data. What little data remains for analysis looks strange. The analysis itself was 165 different statistical tests under three analytical approaches with two different ways of correcting for all of these comparisons. This work is groundbreaking in that we just don't have words to describe how bad this study is. There are so many red flags that the authors, participants, reviewers, and editors should all have been sent off long before any words were sacrificed on these 17 pages. I mean, what's the fucking point? The only redeeming feature in this 10,000-word dump of an article is that the authors followed the 442 method of placing the brain scan devices on the head. I hope that does something to ease the pain for our listeners. Conclusion: balls. The science was by Slutter et al. In Frontiers in Computer Science, reported in the Daily Mail. Mirror phone neurons for misophonia. Mirror neurons, brain cells that respond to sensation and movement, have made the headlines again. First, mirror neurons were blamed for causing people to check their phones within the first 30 seconds after someone they are with checks theirs. The New Scientist and Mail reported on this chameleon effect, or automatic imitation, in which researchers interacted with people, took out their phones, waited and watched for 3 minutes, then scurried away to note down what happened. Okay. Second, mirror neurons were also fingered by researchers studying the brain basis of misophonia, a devastating condition claimed to affect 6 to 20% of people. Misophonia sufferers complain of anxiety, irritation, and disgust at hearing certain sounds, often other people's mouth noises. The Guardian and Mail both point out that it's not just an auditory condition. These new results suggest that movement areas of the brain are also involved. Conclusion: add these to the list of things that mirror neurons have been linked to. The science was by Maglieri et al., Journal of Ethology, and Kumar et al. In Journal of Neuroscience, reported in The New Scientist, The Daily Mail, and The Guardian. A little alcohol is bad and good for you. The Erebar's share price has been all over the place this month, with reports from The Independent, Guardian, and Mail that even a little alcohol is bad for your brain, and that a little alcohol is good for your heart. You'll be pleased to know that all the Erebar's drinks are non-alcoholic. I mean, they're non-existent. But if you're confused by the science, just pick whichever preliminary, unpeer-reviewed report you prefer. Option 1, a little alcohol is bad for your brain, that's an unreviewed preprint from Oxford. Option 2, a little alcohol is good for your heart, that's the unreviewed YouTube video from Harvard. Conclusion: indeed. The science was by Topi Walla and colleagues in Med Archive and Dr. Keane on YouTube, reported in the Daily Mail, The Independent, and The Guardian. Are the zombies coming? The Express reports that zombies are only a single parasite away. Well, that's the story. No link to the science is provided, but it seems to relate to a 2013 study and blog post in which mice infected with a toxoplasma pathogen were less wary of cat urine than uninfected mice. I don't know why this is in the news, I really don't, but it's a pattern. And we're not going to be reporting The Express anymore, they're barred. Conclusion: no. Goodall wins prize for primatology. Finally, The Guardian reports that Jane Goodall has won the $1.5 million Templeton Prize for her life's work on animal intelligence and humanity. The money will be used by the Jane Goodall Institute's ecological and community work in 67 countries. At 87, Goodall shows no sign of stopping work. You can now subscribe to the new Jane Goodall Hopecast. Conclusion: well done. It's closing time at the Error Bar, but do drop in next time for more brain news, fact-checking, and neuro-opinions. Take care. The Error Bar was devised and produced by Dr. Nick Holmes from the University of Nottingham. The music by D. Yang Key is available from the Free Music Archive. Find us at theerrorbar.com, on Twitter at barerror, or email talk@theerrorbar.com.